next on Telling the Truth with Stuart, Jill, and Pete Briscoe.
When God's people are struggling, what he does is he points them to his majesty. Why does he do that? You know why he does that? Because when we are struggling, we start to think that our problem is greater than our God. And as soon as we do, we are lost in the darkness of it. And God says, oh, if you think your problem is greater than me, I've got something very important to share with you. And then he shares his majesty. And in understanding and seeing his majesty, we remember simply how great he is.
Have you ever seen a sunset or an amazing view and thought, wow, God, those are mere glimpses into the greatness and majesty of our Creator. Today on Telling the Truth, Pete Briscoe shows you just how awe-inspiring God really is. And Pete will get started in just a moment. So many people have had to adjust to a new normal over the last few months. At Telling the Truth, we saw a huge increase in people searching for answers about God, and your support made sure they could find the life-giving resources they needed to overcome fear and anxiety. God is at work amidst the uncertainty, and Telling the Truth was made for just such a time as this. Now, at the end of our financial year coming up on June 30th, we need your help to finish strong and ensure we can continue to be there to help more people like you experience life in Christ. And we have some exciting news about how you can help. A group of generous friends have offered to double your gift up to a $205,000 matching grant to keep Telling the Truth on air and online, helping people find hope and peace in these uncertain days. We'll say thanks for your gift by sending you a copy of Pete's 4-message series on finding hope when you're feeling alone. So call now to request your copy and have your gift doubled when you give to help more people experience life in Christ. 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now, here's Pete with a message about the awesomeness of God.
As I was praying through the sermon this week, I started thinking about all the people that I talk to all the time who are struggling so. Life is hard, isn't it? It's just hard. And there are so many different reasons why life is hard. We might have found ourselves in our own little personal exile of sorts, where we are discouraged and despondent, and it seems like God is silent and he's not speaking into it. I started thinking about the different kinds of exiles that we, his children, experience today. I came up with a short list. Allow me to read it to you and ask yourself, is that me? Is that me? Is that me? You won't have to ask long. It'll be obvious if it is. And if you find yourself in this list, this passage is written directly to you. Some of you are out of work. You were downsized some time back. At first, maybe it was even exciting. You know, you had the severance package. And when you first got it, it seemed like, whoa, a big long vacation, right? And then you started to allow yourself the freedom to dream and thought, maybe I'll go into a completely different industry, a totally new start. It's my halftime. This is great. What a blessing. And then after a few months of message boards and meeting with headhunters and one interview after another that showed up nothing and you have nothing on the horizon, now you're starting to say, uh-oh. You find yourself in your own personal exile and you're scared. Maybe it's grief. Maybe you're grieving something. Grief is just a deep, deep sadness about all kinds of loss. Maybe you've recently buried your mom or your dad or a grandparent or a child. And the hole they left is so much bigger than you anticipated it being. You can't bring yourself to delete their phone number from your contact file in your cell phone. It's just still there. There are certain situations that bring you to a place where you half expect that person to walk through the door, but then they just don't come. And the sobs start so deep inside that they literally hurt when they come out. It's a totally new flavor of grief that you've never experienced before. Maybe there's a distance in your marriage. That's your exile. Your marriage is growing colder by the day. The physical intimacy happens whenever it's necessary, whatever that is. You're basically co-workers, co-chauffeurs, co-income producers. You can't remember the last time you had a romantic thought about your spouse or an intimate conversation. You can't remember the last time he shared something real about himself with you. Or when she verbalized respect for you, you're sure it happened. You can't remember when. You found yourself thinking recently, you know, once the kids are all gone, I'm not sure what will be left of this thing we call our marriage. And you're in exile. Maybe your boss is driving you crazy. You arrive on time every day. You diligently take care of your responsibilities. You're repeatedly passed over for promotions and raises. Your boss speaks poorly of you. It takes advantage of you, takes you for granted. You're dying for the day when you can leave, but you can't because you got to pay the bills. You're exile. Maybe your exile is a result of allowing something else to take God's place in your life. Maybe there's an idol that has become too big. It might be your spouse or your kids or your toys or your house. It could be your dreams, your accomplishments, or your most recent project. It has consumed your thoughts. It has received your best efforts. It's been found to bring no life whatsoever. The deadness of this place is stunning to you. Or maybe your exile is a result of the fact that your sin monster has devoured you again. It has reared up its ugly head, even though you thought you were on top of it. You promised God that the last time would be the last time, but now here you are, condemning thoughts bombarding you. You're questioning your salvation. You're hiding the aftermath of your sin from those you loved. You're dying inside in the darkness, terrified of bringing it into the light. If you find yourself anywhere in that list or in another exile that I didn't bring up, and there are many more, this passage of scripture is for you. And what I want to do today in a different way is I want to walk you through this passage. I just want you to hear the voice of God speak to you.
Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed.
In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1, God starts with comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. And he tells Isaiah to speak tenderly to Jerusalem and to proclaim to her that her hard service means their exile. Their time of punishment is coming to an end. The POWs are coming home.
That her sin has been paid for.
The people of Judah have done their time.
That she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins.
That means that the purpose of his punishment has been fulfilled. So this is a message of hope to people who find themselves in exile. God's saying, I am here and I want to speak into it. He then goes on in the rest of the chapter to describe how absolutely magnificently majestic he is. How great he is. When God's people are struggling, what he does is he points them to his majesty. Why does he do that? You know why he does that? Because when we are struggling, we start to think that our problem is greater than our God. And as soon as we do, we are lost in the darkness of it. And God says, oh, if you think your problem is greater than me, I've got something very important to share with you. And then he shares his majesty. And in understanding and seeing his majesty, we remember simply how great he is. So the first thing he says to us in verse 3 is, look at my salvation.
A voice of one calling, in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain.
The gospel writers point to this passage as a text of prophecy about John the Baptist coming as a preparer for Jesus. He prepared the way so that people could hear the voice and the words of Jesus. So in God's mind, in this text, even as it's written by Isaiah, is that wonderful day when the Son of God will actually come incarnate in the flesh to the world to save us. He goes on.
And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
The glory of the Lord is revealed in his Son, and mankind has seen it. The mouth of the Lord has spoken, meaning I promised this. He not only promised and predicted it, he actually came through. And the Son of God did come, lived a perfect life, died a wretched death on the cross, shed his blood, rose again to give us new life and forgiveness from our sin. So if you think that your sin monster is greater than your God, remember the great lengths he went to save you. and refresh in your mind of what Christ did for you on your behalf, that his grace is greater than all your sin. This is biblical truth.
You're listening to Telling the Truth with Stuart, Jill, and Pete Briscoe. Today, Pete is sharing a message about the amazing majesty of God, and he'll be right back with much more coming up. The last few months have been full of unprecedented changes, but thanks to your support, Telling the Truth was able to point people to Christ during a time full of uncertainty. We've seen more than ever how important it is to have resources available both on air and online that help people experience life in Christ. That's why, with the end of our fiscal year coming up on June 30th, we're asking for your help to finish strong and keep these life-giving resources available for you and so many others. Here's the best news. Some generous friends have offered to double your gift today up to a $205,000 match. And to say thanks for your generous support, we want to send you a copy of Pete Briscoe's four-message series, Feeling Alone. This encouraging series will help show you how to build life-giving relationships so you can feel known and cared for no matter your circumstances. And that includes a global pandemic. So call now to request your copy and have your gift doubled when you give to help more people experience life in Christ. 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now, let's hear more from Pete about our awe-inspiring God.
Next, God says, look at my longevity.
A voice says, cry out.
This is the second voice, we think. Maybe, possibly, most likely, God's voice giving a command to Isaiah to speak. And here's what Isaiah said.
And I said, what shall I cry? All the men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up high on a mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him.
Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. God is revealing himself through this text. Here's who I am. Here is your God. So for those of you who think your people problem is greater than your God, remember that your God not only outlives you, he outlives your problems. No problem you're experiencing will outlive him. Look at my longevity, he says. Look at my salvation. Thirdly, look at my tenderness. Verse 11.
He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young.
I think it's remarkable to me that in the midst of this passage of scripture that speaks of the immensity of God, the eternality of God, the infinitude of God, the bigness of God, stuck right in the middle is this beautiful, tender verse that reminds us that even though he is this huge, majestic God, he cradles us in his arms. He is our shepherd. He loves us tenderly. So if you think your grief is greater than your God, run to this verse and remember that he's carrying you close. Next, he says, look at my infinitude. That means his infinite nature. Verse 12.
Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in the balance?
And the answer is? And the answer is God. Okay. Still with me? Yeah. The answer is God. God never hurries. There are no deadlines. Love, mercy, grace are all infinite. He is merciless, measureless, and boundless. So, if you think the rift in your marriage is greater than your God, remember how infinite he is. Remember how infinite he is. Next, God says, look at my omniscience, the fact that I am all knowing, that I know everything. Kings in the ancient days were only as wise as their counsel. They would seek direction and guidance from people in their courts. So their courts were full of wise men and scribes and priests and even some sorcerers too.
Who has understood the mind of the Lord or instructed him as counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him? And who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge or showed him the path of understanding?
So some rhetorical questions. Let's answer it. Who was it that gives God guidance? Anyone know? God. God doesn't even need guidance. So the answer is no one. That's what these questions lead us to. Listen to the way Tozer put it. I love this. God possesses perfect knowledge. He has no need to learn. It is true to say he has never learned and cannot learn. He knows all that can be known. He knows instantly and with fullness of perfection that includes every possible item of knowledge containing everything that exists or could have existed anywhere in the universe at any time in the past or may exist in the centuries or ages yet unborn. He never discovers anything. He is never surprised. He is never amazed. He knows it all. If you think your unemployment is greater than your God, remember that God knows what will happen when. And he's not surprised by this, and he's not panicking at all. Look at my salvation, my longevity, my tenderness, my infinitude, my omniscience. Look at my preeminence, he says. I've been reading quite a bit about China lately. It's in the news, isn't it? China is this huge nation. Maybe the hugest nation of all in many different respects. There are 1.3 billion people in China today, close to 1.4, I understand. Good Magazine wrote an article recently, and it said in there, 1.3 billion souls crammed into a country no larger than our own. So if you think we've added quite a few Hispanic friends in the U.S. in the last couple of decades, imagine inviting everyone in the Western Hemisphere and half of Africa to come live inside the United States, because that would give us China's crowded mix of rich and poor. China is a huge, massive, powerful, unbelievable nation. I'm thinking God's impressed with China. But then again, maybe not. Look what he says in verse 15.
Surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. Lebanon is not sufficient for altar fires, nor its animals enough for burnt offerings. Before him, all the nations are as nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless and less than nothing. To whom then will you compare God?
To whom then will you compare this God? The answer, of course, is there is no one to compare to this God. The nations are like a drop in the bucket. So if you think your teenager's struggles are greater than your God, think about how big China is, then see it as a drop in a bucket that he carries around on his pinky. And then ask yourself, do you think maybe he could do something here?
Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretched out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in.
If you've allowed your idol to become greater than your God, think of it as a grasshopper under his feet, this text tells us. Look at my sovereignty, he says in verse 23.
He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or whom is my equal, says the Holy One?
To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal, says the Holy One? Look at my omnipotence, he says, my all-powerfulness.
Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God?
Did you hear that question in verse 27? Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Why do you say either God can't see what's going on in my life or God doesn't care what's going on in my life? To that question, God says, look at the stars. And remember, I created them. I named them. I put them in place. They stay in place because I hold them there. And now you want to ask that question again? You really think I'm ignorant of what's going on in your life? Do you really think I don't know? And remember, I'm the shepherd who cradles you in his arms. Do you really think I don't care? Behold your God, Isaiah implores us. If you think your infertility is greater than your God, I encourage you to look up to the night sky and remember his creative capacity. Finally, he says, look at my eternality. Look at my eternality in verse 28.
Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom.
The Lord is the everlasting God.
When life feels overwhelming, take comfort that God is bigger than any problem you face. This is Telling the Truth with Stuart, Jill, and Pete Briscoe. Today, Pete is showing you why God is so awe-inspiring. He'll be back with a final thought in just a moment. Throughout this season of global uncertainty, many people have turned to Jesus for help like never before, some for the very first time. And thanks to your support, Telling the Truth has been there for people all over the world to share God's life-giving truth. And now we need your continued generosity to reach a critical financial goal by June 30th. The great news is that some wonderful friends have offered to double your gift, up to $205,000. That means your support will go twice as far to help provide truth and hope to more people through the end of this pandemic and beyond. We would love to show appreciation for your generosity by sending you Pete Briscoe's four-message series called Feeling Alone to help you build the meaningful relationships God designed you to enjoy. Get your copy of Feeling Alone when you give today and have your gift doubled by the matching grant to help finish our financial year strong. Call 1-800-889-5388. 1-800-889-5388. You can also give online at tellingthetruth.org. That's tellingthetruth.org. And now here's Pete with a final thought on our awe-inspiring God.
C.S. Lewis, to help us try and understand the everlastingness, the eternality of God, says, imagine that you have a large sheet of paper, and it is infinitely extended. It goes on forever in every direction. And then take a little pen and draw a line. That line represents time. God drew it. He drew it from the beginning. He drew it to the end. And it exists in this thing called eternity, which he created. It's mind-boggling. He is eternal. He is outside of time. He was here before time started. He'll be here after time ends. He is beyond our comprehension. The result of this eternality is he will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. So if you're feeling bad about not being able to gather all this, you're not alone. It's the human condition. But know that he will not grow tired or weary. So if you think your weariness is greater than your God, remember that God never grows tired, ever. So what shall I do after I fill my mind with all these truths? Well, here comes the so what in verse 29.
He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
Verse 31, underline these words. But those who hope in the Lord. It doesn't say those who hope for a solution. Our hope is not in a potential solution. Our hope is in the Lord. Who is the Lord? He was just magnificently described for us in his majesty and his power. Those of us who surrender to him, those of us who trust him, will renew their strength. We will soar on wings like eagles. We will run and not grow weary. We will walk and not be faint.
Pete Briscoe on today's Telling the Truth, finishing his message on our awe-inspiring God. Your gift to help Telling the Truth finish the financial year strong is so important to ensure we can continue to be there for listeners like you, helping you experience life in Christ. And right now, whatever you give will be doubled up to a $205,000 matching grant. It's been amazing to see how God has been at work in people's lives and hearts over these past months. And your gift today will help continue reaching people in need with the hope that a life in Christ can bring. As thanks for your gift, we'd love to send you a copy of Pete's 4-message series, Feeling Alone, which shows you how to experience the deep and meaningful relationships God designed you to experience. Call 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388, or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Thanks for joining us today on Telling the Truth. Come back tomorrow to hear Stuart, Jill, and Pete Briscoe share more biblical insights and powerful truths. Experience life next time on Telling the Truth.